This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What is going on, party people in the house? Welcome back to what I hope is your favorite sports podcast here on the Yak Network. Welcome back to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast, and I am your host, your Drunk Uncle, Anwar Richardson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Okay, for some of you guys, this might be like the first time you listen to the podcast. You go, wait a second. What's the name of this Drunk Uncle podcast? What is this name? What are we doing with this? All right, so here's the genesis of it. So some of you guys who haven't been around, like the old heads here, have been around for a hot minute. Talk about sports podcast is basically when you think about your family, right? You think about your uncles, and everybody's got different kinds of uncles within their family. You guys just had Thanksgiving, so you know what I am talking about, right? And I identified myself more so as the drunk uncle, right? For first of all, I do like to drink a little bit, and I haven't drank on the show in a while though. But maybe I did recently, and I forgot because I don't remember what I did last week. But you know, you think about your uncle and your drunk uncle, right? And your drunk uncle's kind of funny, you know. He's the life of the party. You know, everybody just enjoying and having a great time with their drunk uncle. Then every once in a while, drunk uncle drops some knowledge on you. He's like, my man. Drunk Uncle, I didn't even know you had that in you. Dang, I'm impressed. I learned something new. And that's what I want the show to be. I want you guys to be have a good time. I want you guys to have fun. I want you to enjoy yourself. But at the end of the day, I want you to walk away saying, you know what? Learn something new. And that's the reason why we got the name of the Drunk Uncle's Sports Podcast. And the Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast is brought to you by the Lowy Law Firm. That's right, Adam Lowy. Hey, he is one of the top personal injury lawyers here in Austin, Texas. Adam is a proud graduate of the University of Texas School of Law, and he started his law firm in 2005. Adam helps people who have been injured in car crashes, slip and falls, dog bites. That's got to hurt. You know, which one is worse, slip and fall or dog bite? I think a dog bite would be scary, right? Because a slip and fall just happened. And all you know is you're hurt. Dog bite, like, you see it coming, and you got to fight off a dog. Like, that's got to suck. I keep talking about that. And watch, we're not going to walk around and get bit by a dog. But if I do get bit by a dog, I know who to call. And listen, he helps you in all other assorted ways. So he's actively involved in every case he handles and is available to talk or text. You can even find him on Twitter, very opinionated. If you or a loved one, he actually called me out, or can I say he called me out on Twitter this past weekend for something, and he was totally wrong. I mean, just totally wrong, right, on it. But dude called me out. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, this is my sponsor, right? But I'm like, you can't just call me out like that. I mean, come on now. Come on, Adam. Because I had to text Adam, you know, because I was like, okay, I'm not going to go toe-to-toe with him here in this public forum. But I got to let him know, like, he's wrong as two left feet right about now. Adam fessed up. He actually went back on Twitter and apologized. So I do appreciate that. So I should have sued him. But if you or a loved one has been injured, call the Lowy Law Firm today. 512-280-0800. That is 512-280-0800. Telling you, man, Onward Richardson, your drunk uncle sent you. And I hope you feel better because we got to call Adam. You are probably in a bad situation. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving with your family. If you didn't celebrate with your family, I'm hoping you had a good day, whether you had the turkey. I know people, not everyone does turkey. Some people just do a lasagna, whatever it was, whatever made you happy. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself on that Thursday, because I know what happened on that Friday, and I know there's a reason why. If you're a Texas Longhorn fan, you are not happy right now. I mean, it did. You had a Thanksgiving high feast, and then by the time it was 24 hours later, you were mad, you were upset, and rightfully so, because Texas lost to Iowa State, falls outside of the Big 12 championship contention, and now Texas has two games remaining, Kansas State and Kansas. And have you heard any good rumors lately? Because if you haven't heard, I think you already know. There's a little rumor going around, but you and I have talked about this for weeks, and we say so. Everybody's now catching up to what you and I have been talking about for a while. Really, almost since the Oklahoma game is when we've had these conversations about it. And it's interesting as we start seeing all the rumors of contracts being offered and contract being on the table and potentially of guys flying out to talk to Urban Meyer, and it's just a weird dynamic because Tom Herman still has two more games left, and it's like, hello, I'm still the coach. Hello, I'm here. I can hear you. And it's interesting because for the past few weeks, I was the main person that was asking Herman about. Urban and the potential for coaching change, and it was almost like no one else really wanted to touch it outside of Brian Davis for the Austin American Statesman. And this past Monday, it was like open season. Everybody just knew, okay, we can just ask this question, because I think it becomes the elephant in the room is too huge, too big to ignore. It's interesting though, because I start thinking about it, and there's so many things to talk about and angles with it. I feel a little bit bad for Tom Herman. I really do, because it's an interesting thing, because I've been doing this thing for a long time. And anytime a coach gets fired, there's still a part of me that feels bad for them. And not to say it's not justified, but to understand that, yay, man, you still feel bad for them. I remember when I was in Tampa and Tony Dungy got fired, and there was a station in Bay News 9, I'll never forget it. And they video Tony Dungy cleaning out his office, and it was behind the gate, so they couldn't really get close, but close enough where you could see Tony Dungy loading his SUV up in the rain. It was dark. It was just like a depressing picture and a depressing image that to this day, I mean, if you look up Tony Dungy fired Bay News 9, I'm assuming something like that's going to come up. And I felt bad for him, even though the change was justified, because the next year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won a Super Bowl under John Gruden. So you could say it was justified, but still in the moment, I felt bad for him just because you knew he had all these hopes and dreams, and they had to realize at that point, at least he realized that it's not going to happen here, and I don't know what's going to happen next. John Gruden. And I'll tell you what, I covered John Gruden. Indifferent towards, I won't say disliked him. I was just indifferent towards him. He was kind of an ass at times, but that was kind of his shtick. That's kind of who he is, and entertaining at times, but ass at other times. But even then, he eventually got fired. There's a part of me that still kind of felt bad for him. It's kind of like, ah, man, it's gotta suck. Raheem Morris took over, and I covered Raheem. And Raheem Morris, I like. I've probably never had. I won't say great relationship, because Raheem and I didn't talk that much, but. When I say talk over the phone, just holler at him, like, what's going on? But occasionally. But just a good dude, just a good young guy who I just thought could potentially be successful. He was in year one, and things just didn't continue to go the way that, year two, I believe, they didn't go the way that he had hoped for. And when he got fired, though it was justified, I felt bad for him. you know, I got to up to Detroit and I covered Jim Schwartz while he was there. Now, Jim Schwartz was an ass. Like, let it be known, Jim Schwartz was an ass, and he would probably not be offended if I had said that. You know, I remember the first day I got to Detroit, and I, you know, and one of the things you want to do as a beat writer, you want to kind of introduce yourself to the new coach, and you know, it's mid season. I had to replace someone who had passed away, and so, you know, it's, I say mid season, it's like within the first three or four games of the season, and so, I, you know, talk to the, you know, media relations person. Hey, just want to talk to him off stage, introduce myself, get to know him so he and I can have at least a decent working relationship. And after his press conference, they pull me aside so I can talk to him. And dude gave me a 30 to 45 minute lecture as to how much he dislikes the media, how much he'll never read anything that I write. How don't ask him questions about certain things. Don't ask him about injuries. Don't ask him about this. I mean, it was like a laundry list of things. It was a total address. This is my first day. My first day. And you're like, yeah, dude, I'm just going to let you know I don't F with you. So just so we're clear. But I could have said that within 5 minutes, but I decide the lecture circuit is really what you need. And eventually got fired. And still, I felt bad for him. Got here to Austin, and Charlie Strong got fired. But nice guy. No one will ever say Charlie Strong was a bad person. People will say he was a bad coach. No one will say he was a bad person. But I still will not forget. I still won't forget that after that Kansas game, when he lost and was going to the locker room area where they're going to have like a little post game. And I saw him, his wife was out there. She was bawling. She was hugging him. I saw staff members hugging each other. And even though the mood, or rather move, was supposed to be justified, because you can justify it, I still felt bad for him. This felt bad because you could tell all the hopes and dreams was ending. And now, as I see Tom Herman, and we're nearing the end, there's a part of me. Yeah, you know, Drunk Uncle gets a little ornery sometimes, and Drunk Uncle could be a little an ass sometimes, but I still feel bad for him right now. I feel bad for him knowing that, you know, whatever he thought he could have accomplished at the University of Texas may not happen. It's got to suck in some way or capacity to still be doing your job and know that you have the potential to get replaced, right? We've all worked in companies where we hear there's a potential of layoffs, right? But, you know, you still can kind of do your thing. But you didn't work in a company where every single day there was talking about you getting laid off. Hey, man, did you hear that Anwar's going to get laid off? Yeah, they're getting ready to promote John. If John wants the job, Anwar's out. He's out. I mean, could you imagine your job? You know, like, most jobs, employees, what they do, they fire you on a Friday, right? You know, they make you work a full day, and then they fire you, right? You don't get a chance to go back up and get your stuff. You're just done. But could you imagine working a situation where every day they're like, hey, if this person wants your job, you're fired. And now you just got to sit here and wait for weeks to see if that person wants your job. You can't, and you're not feeling the love, and you still got to go out and perform because there's still the slim chance that you don't get fired. It's got to suck for him. No matter what you think about the job, you know, and maybe about the person, from a human capacity standpoint, you know, it's got to suck. And that's how I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him, feel bad for his family. Now, I don't feel bad about that $15 million he about to get. Oh, now, hey, listen, my tears will be short for you, Mr. Herman. Like, let's not get it twisted. I'm not going to light a candle. You know, I'm not going to write an obituary. I'm not going to write my feelings or thoughts or do meditation. Like, I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. Damn, that $15 million must be nice, though. So props to you if that's the way that goes. But I want to say this. Let me say this before we get into the crux of my show. Let me just say this. As everyone starts talking about Urban, and that's where the conversation is, and That's where everything is around. And everyone just feels like they have the answer to this, that it's urban and it's a done deal. And all I will say is this. Y'all have seen 2020 before, right? You've been in this year, haven't you, right? Don't think that because you're in December of 2020 that 2020 has taken the rest of the month off. We're still in 2020, which means anything can happen. 2020 has told us the moment you start to peg 2020 into a corner, or the moment that you start thinking you've got everything figured out, the moment that you say, I have figured you out, 2020, and I am pretty sure this is what's going to happen. What has 2020 done to you? Give you, you know what, hornets, killer hornets, right? We've got pandemic stuff out the wazoo. Think about the natural disasters that we've had. I mean, like, I am not just going to sit here and assume that Urban Meyer is going to take this job because this is 2020. I would not be shocked. I'm not predicting it. So be careful how you phrase it on the message boards and tweet me. But, is there anything about 2020 that would tell you that Urban Meyer turns down the job, Tom Herman goes 7-3, and Texas says, all right, well, we don't really have anywhere to go? No, not what you think should happen. I'm just talking about, let's talk about this year. What do you think? Exactly. So if I was you, read all the reports, stay up to date. Get on Orange Bloods. Got a hell of a promotion right now. Get $75 free of Adidas or Nike gear. Now's the time to sign up to get on OB, because whether it's for you as your own gift or whether it's for somebody else that deserves it, made a Longhorn fan in your life, you're really going to enjoy it. But I would just say this, and let's get into my cards and get into my main man here in a second. This has been a crazy year. It's almost over, but I'm recording this right now, and it is December the 2nd, which means we got 29 more days. Don't get crazy. Don't get cocky. Don't think you've got 2020 figured out, because the one thing about this year is, you think this you got 2020 figured out? Psych. Let's not do that. So let's see what happens over the next few weeks. But hopefully we should, Ketch and I are working really hard on trying to give you the most up-to-date information. And hopefully we'll have something with sooner than later. But now let's get into the sooner part of this podcast. Wait, someone's not going to like that. Let's get into, that was a horrible segue. So someone's going to, text the family, well, you said sooner. So my bad. Let's get into the meat of this podcast. All right. I would like to be able to say this person is a guest, but guest implies that you want the person to leave. Like, so you have a guest that comes over for a little bit, but then you always counting down the time that you want them to go home. This person is more like family to me. You know, he had a show on here for the last couple of years, and he really held it down. It was called The Bottom Line, him and Chip Brown. And then, of course, what happens in radio, things happen. But I've been working on him to get him to come out of hiding for the past couple of weeks. You know, get him to come out the witness protection program, all that type of stuff. And now my main man, who is fam, Mike Harge, is going to join me on my podcast. Mike, my man, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thankful. I'm thankful that you finally got me to come out of retirement, got me off the couch and said, you know what, man? The people need to hear from you. Therefore, who else can I go with than my man Anwar? My man doing his thing.
Yeah.
Every time we used to see each other during the presser, We was always cutting up, having a good time. Now I'm not even at the pressers.
No.
My feelings are hurt, but I'm still engaged, baby. But I'm still engaged. I'm in the game, baby.
Okay, so we're going to get you back in this game. Because what we can't do is let your voice die. You've worked too hard in this industry, worked too hard over the past few years. So we cannot let your voice die. So we got to hear you. We got to hear what Harge is going to do. We know you're going to rebound at some point, right? You got something that you're working on that you can't tell us about, but there's something that you're working on, right?
Yep, 100%. You hit the nail on the head, brother. It's in the works. So be on the lookout. I'll make sure and make a formal announcement here in the next week or so. But yeah, I'm on that grind, baby. You know how it goes. You can't stop.
No, you can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. All right. So listen. I thought, Harsh, at first it's kind of funny. I was thinking about it. And I was like, okay, so what kind of questions can I ask Harsh? What can I do to intros and this and that? And I just started thinking, no, I'm not doing any of that. You have a voice. We have not heard from you in a while. And all I'm going to do is be your Gary Payton right now. Okay, I'm just going to set up the assist. And I'm going to let you talk. Because there's too many things that have been going on that you have not been able to speak on, right?
Right on.
So I'm just gonna throw a lob up and say two words, Urban Meyer, and I'm gonna sit back.
Boy, don't get me started on this one.
That's where we're going right now.
Okay, all right. So here's my take on this Urban Meyer situation. 3 years ago, we had the OK Cool Hook 'em come out, right? Everybody was all in on Tom Herman. Urban Liar. Oh man, I can't stand this dude. He's a cheat. He had criminals on his team. He wasn't even part of nothing. Now everybody like, all right, man, look, forget what I said last time. Don't hold me at my words and understand. You know, it's like you're a parent. I'm a parent. You know, listen to what I say, not what I do type of deal. This is where we are at the University of Texas and the 40 Acre. People are willing to sell their souls now just to have that opportunity to get that free agent named Urban Meyer out of retirement and on this 40 acres. I tell you, brother, this whole thing has got people losing their ever-loving mind. And it's just funny to me because of the situation that's at hand. Tom Herman is possibly, from all reports, and you guys have been covering it, other avenues have been covering it, everybody's saying Urban Meyer, Tom Herman out. Remember last time they tried to run somebody out of here? They messed up. I was a Charlie fan, number one. I was not a Tom Herman fan. And the reason why is because of the same reasons I like Charlie, I didn't like Herman. Charlie was a guy that everybody pulled for, except for the big money donors. Now, you look at the big money donors. The big money donors were the one that had the new up and coming, the hot guy, Tom Herman. That's my dude. That's our guy. He's one of us. Now, all of a sudden, no the hell he ain't. He gots to go. And to top it off, Anwar, my man still ain't had to lose a season yet.
Nope.
My man still ain't had to lose a season, and he's still at a position now that he won't have a losing season unless they lose in the bowl game. So now you're looking at the entire shift of power from that's our guy, he's one of us, to, man, I can't gas up a plane fast enough to get his ass out of here. That's the thing that cracks me up about this university. And I have a conversation with my homeboys all the time. I've got friends that are from Killeen. I'm born and raised in Killeen, Texas. I've had a lot of athletes come from there. And I got a cousin that played at UCLA. Got a homeboy that played at Texas State, Southwest Texas back then. My uncle was on the national championship team. I have another homeboy that played at U of H, where Herman was before. And he was filling me in on Herman a long time ago. So that's another reason. But I always try to give people an opportunity to prove me wrong, right? I don't go by Anwar says that guy is a piece of crap. Well, let me see how he treat me, and then I'll let you know what I think about it, right? So I give everybody that opportunity. Got another homeboy that played at A&M. So our text messages and our threads are going strong every single day. And everybody comes to the same conclusion. The Cowboys and the Texas Longhorns are the same people. Instead of one Jarrah, Texas has 25 Jarrahs.
Yes.
And that causes a problem. Like, we can't pinpoint the problem at the University of Texas amongst the boosters because there's so many of them. We know what the problem is in Dallas, and it's one guy. All this behind the scenes and my sources and this and that, and I'm jumping on a plane and flying to Columbus to go talk to Urban Meyer. Hell, I thought he was in California. I ain't know he was in Columbus. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this stuff is crazy, brother. This stuff is crazy, man.
Yeah, I think in Dublin. But, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, you have seen this shift in that. But let me ask you this. Can you understand the shift, right? Can you understand, hey, TCU continues to happen, right? Iowa State had, you know, happened. And you have a fan base that says, okay, listen, we lose to Oklahoma. That's one thing. But why are you struggling against the Oklahoma States every year? I mean, they beat them, but why are you struggling against Oklahoma State, the TCUs, the World Baylors of the world? And at some point, you know, it's interesting because at heart, I think there's a standard and there's a desired standard. Like, I think there's two different things because when it comes to Texas, everyone talks about the standard. But I feel like it's a desired standard, right? Because since 2009, there's been one Big 12 championship game. So
hello.
So it's not like this is a, you know, a beast. You know, there was a couple good years. Mack Brown didn't take home that many Big 12 titles where everyone should say, you know, this is what we do. But do you understand that, hey, not, even though it's not the standard, it's a desired standard, and this is why Texas fans are saying, hey, we want some sort of a change.
I agree with you 100% on everything that you said. But the biggest factor is, what is the University of Texas? It's people that think that they're better than what they are. Again, I'm bringing it back to the Dallas Cowboys, and I know you're going to get tired of me saying that, but the parallels are so right in front of your eyes, bro. Like, these people think Texas and Dallas Cowboy fans are the same people because they think that they are better than what they are. Now, are we behind? We're doing things. We're trying to build facilities. You're doing all the big things and shiny new. We are Texas. We are this huge brand. But you don't have anything to show for it. And you haven't shown for it. So to your point about 2009, I mean, damn, Vince Young ain't walked through that door in a minute, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about that. Before Vince Young, where were you before that too? So there's this false bravado that I'm not mad at it, though. Let's not get it twisted. I'm not mad at it. I want people to be conscious and be cocky and want to be that big dog on the block because you want to compete with the Alabamas. But you can't – and a good friend of mine who's an alum of Texas told me this. He said, you can't be Harvard or Stanford Monday through Friday and then want to be Alabama on Saturday. It just can't happen that way. And that's where I think Texas fans and the fan base and the want to and the will, bro, you still don't have a losing season. Can he not change it? Can he not fix it? Is he not up until he's our guy? That's what I'm confused about.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you don't make a change, okay, and you decided to let this thing ride out, and to your point, like, look, if he beats K-State this week, they have it. Then they should go beat Kansas. That's 7 wins, right? And you know, we'll be very hard pressed to find a team that fires a coach after a 700 season, right? It just really literally doesn't happen. 3 straight bowl wins, which is, like, again, nothing to sneeze at. Again, we know what you want, right? You know you want the Big 12 championship game, right. But you know, there's, you know, it's like when coaches get hired, the things that, you know, were little sticks, people seem to love. And then when you're not winning, everybody hates it. And everybody throws it in your face. And so, you know, all of a sudden, 1-0 sounded great at first. And then you started losing. Yeah. And they're like, well, why are we 0-1, right? And so, you know, the burnt toast and soggy grits and, you know, messed up pancakes. It's all good. They got
drinking out the water hose.
Yeah, and all that. That sounded great. And then after a while, you're like, listen, man, I don't even know what TCU's doing with Burnt Toes and Gary Patterson, but they just seem to be winning, you know? Here's the thing, though. If you have a chance, if you're Texas, Harjan, you got a chance to upgrade, you know, and you say, hey, you're here at this level, which is good enough, but if you can upgrade to a Hall of Fame coach that has proven himself at Bowling Green, who's proven himself
at Bowling Green, Utah,
who's done it at Florida, who's done it at Ohio State. If you can upgrade and say, all right, this was good, but we could be great here, do you pull the trigger?
Yeah, I mean, and realistically and hypothetically, yes. Is he the one that is sitting out there, that big fish, that whale that everybody talks about? Absolutely, he is that guy. But until you get to that point and you have 100% locked in, dialed in, why are we doing this again? Why are you trying to change what is happening at the University of Texas? And what is this? This was his fourth year, right? This was his fourth season. This is the one. You and I had this conversation right before the season started. They did the reboot, and they were losing games. Or when I mean losing games, they were going off the schedule. They were going to play this 10-game schedule. And I said, I got them going 8-2. Mm-hmm. I told you that at the beginning of the year. And you were like, oh, that's realistic, but they could go 10-0. And I was like, yeah, no doubt. They could. But they were right there to go 8-2. Is it that bad to go 7-3? Is it that bad? Because I'm looking around the country, there's some people that ain't won games all year.
Oh, absolutely.
And they know who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know who they are. Is Texas the elite program in which we think they are? No, they haven't been. Can they get there to your point with this guy, Urban Meyer? Do you go get this championship coach? Let's say he gets him and he doesn't win. You running him out too? So then you're creating this culture on which if you don't get it done right away, you got to go. So if I'm a kid and I'm being recruited, I'm looking at this culture over here at the University of Texas of, damn, they running people out, and my man got a winning record. Mm-hmm. Woo! But pressure bust pipes, too.
He's that dude.
But is he going to be able to come in and deal with us in the media? Because you know he cuss people out in a heartbeat. And then is he going to be able to deal with all of the boosters that want his time, that want him? This dude wants to coach. And I think sometimes that's where we misunderstand Tom Herman, because I don't think he wants to do half of that stuff, which is probably why some of these boosters want him out, because he's not Mac Brown as far as the glad-handed. Sometimes you just got to let these coaches go do their jobs, man, and not have them having to spend time and be down with all these boosters. I get it. If I was the big money guy, I want to have access to the head coach, but I'm also like, man, I need to leave this dude alone for a while. Let him win some games. Let him.
Okay, so Hard, let me ask you this.
Okay,
could you make a case? Let me ask you this: if for some reason they don't get Urban, right, that doesn't happen. It's not my belief that if they don't get Urban, then you probably just got to keep Tom. Because I feel like it's. You go back into the guesswork game, right? Guessing game. Maybe this guy can do it. 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 You know, that's my point. That's what I believe. But what do you think? If for some reason this whole everything, you know, the cardiologist at St. Davis didn't impress Urban Meyer. You know, the doctors didn't really. You know how you do a recruiting visit. You know, you do recruiting visits. And, you know, they're like, oh, man, you know, this guy's a partier. Okay, take him down to 6th Street. This guy's in the church. Okay, let's take him over to that, you know, the good church over there, Summit Worship or whatever. And it's like, you know, so if you're Urban, you're like, hey, man, you want to see our doctors? Because, you know, we'll show you some of our best doctors here. But if it doesn't work, What do you think Texas should do? What should they do if this doesn't work out?
If it's not Urban Meyer, then why are you making the change? Because to your point, you're going back to the guesswork. You're going back to, all right, how do you go from the hottest coach on the planet going and meeting them in the back rooms in Bastrop? I mean, this dude left his car on the side of the road to come to the University of Texas. Why are you all of a sudden trying to run this guy out? So to answer your question, yes, it's got to be Tom. It's got to be Tom. Look, nobody told him to change seven coaches. Nobody told him to do that, right? I understand that. Have you seen progress on the defensive side of the ball?
Yes.
From where they were before. Now they are out there. They held Chuba Hubbard, Breece Hall, and Letty Brown well below their average. Those guys have been balling. You got good players that are playing hard. Now, I know some people opted out, but I'm not worried about the opt-out. What I'm worried about is the people that are playing. Those guys are balling. Why are you tripping? They are starting to make progress. Do I think Sam regressed? Absolutely, but I think some of that's on Sam too. I think a lot of that is on Sam, to be quite honest with you. But when you break it all down, why are you going to go back and put these kids through another change? Not saying, you know, Ash may stay because he's worked with Urban before. Drayton may stay because he's worked with Urban before. Mike Yurcich may stay because of the continuity and all that other stuff. But after a certain point, man, I mean, you're going to make another coaching change? And that's, what, is that almost like a $100 million price tag that you have just changed with paying Urban his salary and getting all the new staff and possibly you got to pay off all these other coaches? I know Texas think they got big money, but why are we wasting it to make a change if Urban is not the guy? If Urban is not the guy, you roll one more year with Herman, and if he don't get it fixed by then you go look for your big fish or whatever you look for. But if it's not Urban Meyer, I don't see a change needed at all.
You know, it's interesting too, hard.
Unless you get Dan Mullen. Then I might want to holler at you.
Well, here, you know what? Because you actually, that was exactly what I was going to get to. Because you hear some of the numbers that are being thrown around, 10 million, 12 million, all these type of numbers. I mean, Harge, if you can throw around 12 million potentially, right? No. Don't you make a run at Nick Saban and ask him what he's doing? I mean, don't you make him? I mean, if you're just going to throw money and make someone the highest paid coach, don't you make then? It's take away the guesswork. Don't you make the elite of the elite tell you no at that point? Right. You tell me no.
Yeah.
But make you make $9 million. Tell us no.
Right. I agree with you 100%. If you're going to try to make a run and you're going to pay all that money, yeah, you need to go to the king of the castle, right? You need to go see the man that swings the biggest sword and say, tell me no. Okay, no. But if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you want to go get a guy like Harbaugh? No. Not Jim. Oh. John. You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you go get a guy like that? I thought he should have been a guy that got a phone call. Why not go holler at Dabo Swinney? Make him tell you no. I mean, because be honest, Dabo is a thorn in Nick's side more than anybody in the SEC. Mm-hmm. More than anybody in the SEC. Dabo don't want that smoke Nick don't want that smoke from Dabo. So why not go to that guy? I mean, if you're going to go after some big name guys, why not go after all of the big name guys? If not, stay with Tom Herman. Mm. Period.
You alluded to Ellinger. I, you know, we don't talk about it as much. And I know you guys talked about it in your show, but you haven't talked in a while. You know, even when I look at that Iowa State game, and I can say to myself, okay, with around 3 minutes left, they ran on first down, and then they had two passes, you know, one on second down, third down. You know, you gave the ball back to Iowa State. But I could also say those passes by Ellinger were not good. Like, I could also
100%.
Say, you know, he 100%. Overthrew Jake Smith by a mile.
Wow.
Yes. And so if he executes, what do you think? Give me your impression of Sam, not only the senior year, but what really – in your mind, is his legacy at UT?
I saw a stat today that he and Peter Gardier have the exact same record through 41 games. He and Peter Gardier. Now, What do people think of Peter Gardner? He beat Oklahoma four times, right? Mm-hmm. No national championships, no big or what is it? No Southwest Conference, yeah. All that stuff. It's pretty much the same. And I think that he is going to turn himself into Peter Gardner. He's going to be a guy that people loved him while he was here. But Anwar, you've been covering this stuff for a while, bro. You've been in the league. You've seen what it's like. Bro, he has never really impressed me as a thrower of the football. Has he made some plays? Is he a football player? Absolutely. Is he the guy that fourth quarter, everybody's like, oh, you know, 9 of 11, 12, 10 of 12 on this final quarter. And I'm like, what does that mean to me? Where was he at before that? Mm-hmm. What was he doing early in the game? Now, look, people are going to say, oh, man, he's a hater of Sam. No, not even close to a hater of Sam. His numbers are going to be immortalized to the very top. But at the end of this all, bro, what are you going to look at him and say? He never won a Big 12 championship. Yeah, he screamed, we're back in the Sugar Bowl. And then they never got back. So, to me, he's missed a lot of passes. He's never been accurate on the deep ball. And I know people are like – I saw some people today, Anwar. This will sum up Sam Ehlinger's career. The same people that were applauding him for everything that he's done and Westlake, local kid, he was going to the University of Texas out the womb. It don't matter who recruited him. He could have walked on here. He was coming to Texas. The same people that were in love with him today said, I think we need to see what our backup quarterbacks look like. Because, you know, he's going to be gone. And, you know, the people that keep saying Sam needs to come back, y'all need to stop. Sam need to move on. Because I don't want him, number one, I don't want him adding to his records. I want those other guys played 3 years, Vince Young, Colt played four. After that, that's all you get as a quarterback in college. Or you take away all them stats. You are a four-year starter, bro. You don't need to be a five. You don't need to be a five.
But the thing is, if you are a five, you know, my thing was always if Sam Ehlinger had to come back, then his senior year didn't go well. And so, you know, that would
that's not, real. That's
yeah,
real.
And so if he does, then that's a bad moon rising. So let me ask you this too, Harge. You know, this week we've seen Sam Cosmi leave. We've seen Caden Stearns leave. Can you opt out technically when there's two games left, or is that quitting when there's actually two games left in the regular season? I get bowl game, but opting out, isn't that what you do before the season, right? Don't you opt out and like, hey, man, I don't know about this COVID. I might want to stay home. Don't you opt out? When there's two games left, is it an opt out? And I, as an athlete, you know, you played, you know, on high levels now. What's your take on that?
It's funny that you say that because I had this conversation last night. And as far as the opting out is concerned, I'm very disappointed in both of those guys. I'm very disappointed. Two things. Sam Cosmi, you knew what your situation was going into it. And people are like, well, what if he gets hurt? What if he gets hurt? Well, that's every game this year, right? He could have got hurt in any game and every game. Connor Williams came back. He played, got drafted. He just set out the bowl game. And I'm with you on if you wanted to opt out, you should have opted out at the beginning of the season. Now, as a parent, if I'm having this conversation and my son comes to me and says, Dad, I'm thinking about opting out. Here's my options. This is what's happening. And we're weighing it. And I know that my son, by all accounts, is going to be a first-day pick. Now, that may change once he goes to combines and all that other stuff. Once my son tells me that's why, and I said, but you got a captain on your shirt. As a captain, you need to be there for your teammates. And he said, Dad, our obligation is trying to do better for our families, right? And he's about to graduate, right? And he on pace to graduate, like, right now, too? Yeah. So he's exhausted himself. So at least he has his degree. So I get both sides of this argument. The one person that I'm really concerned about is Caden Stearns, is because I don't think he put enough on the film this year, the last 2 years, that he needs to opt out. So long short about what you just asked me, bro, if those kids are captains. Captains need to be on the field with their teammates. But I understand why they want to not. And to your point, homie, weren't you supposed to do that at the beginning of the year? Like, because your name was in the paper for that before. Your name was already on there, Satan. Hey, man, I'm on this top 25 list of people to get drafted in the first round. COVID gives me an out. I might as well go ahead and chill for a minute. Because let's be honest, what did you like about Cosme's tape this year?
Nothing.
So, I mean,
I like Stearns less. I like Stearns less, but there wasn't a ton of times where I saw that offensive line. And I was like, oh man, they're killing again. There's only maybe a couple of games where I thought, wow, good performance. Outside of that, no.
Right.
There was nothing that, you know, I looked at him as like, that dude's a beast.
Right. So, right. And I'm with you 100% on that. So I have a heart. I understand the opt-out. I get it. But I'm also looking at it like you're not opting out because you got a captain on your shirt, bro. And you knew what the risks were when you were coming into the season. And when that big C is on your chest, people look at you to fight for them and with them, not leave them by themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's why when people were talking about Sam's comments yesterday, I was like, what else do you think Sam's going to say? Goes back to our conversation, what we were talking about earlier, bro. Sam was born to go to UT. He is Mr. Everything. The Stand With Sam shirts. I'm like, what are we doing, bro? Like, what? You're the ones that are, the people are the ones that we're having a divide amongst the players, which they're not, but that's what people were perceiving. I'm standing with Sam. Are you? Are you really? Because there's other people that were standing out there too, not just Sam.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and that,
you know, it just drives me nuts, bro.
Yeah, by the way, this, the other part of that is is the kind of the quiet when no one talks about, well, where was Sam the other three games? He was in the locker room.
Hello.
So, you know, it just so happened that he was out there for that game. But where was he the other thing? Because you didn't see him the other three standing by himself. The storyline was the entire team went into the locker room. The entire team is not participating in the eyes. So, you know, so that just you're correct with the false narrative. I'll give you a couple more minutes. And I'll let you go. What else has been on your mind? Like you've been sitting home in the basement. You have thoughts. What else is on your mind, Harsh?
Well, I, to be honest with you, this entire season, the way things have gone down at the University of Texas, I think it gives a bad perception of the university. I think this is a great university. I think this is something that a lot of people, you know, who are fortunate enough to be a part of the university get to see. I mean, you've been around here for a while now, so you've seen the perks. You've seen the good things about this university. And I think people now are looking at Texas like, do I really want to take that job? Is this something that I really want to be a part of? And I'll never forget this. My co-host told me, he said, when you come to the University of Texas, you have to be comfortable in your skin. You got to be comfortable in who you are, whether it's the football coach, the basketball coach, the baseball coach, track, swimming, diving, any coach that is involved at the university, you have to be comfortable at who you are. And I didn't understand that at first. I did not understand that. But as I've watched over the years and watched Tom Herman go from, 7-6, 10-4, 8-5, and now whatever this season is going to end, I think it's 7-3 plus a bowl game, which he's very successful in bowl games. I just think that our appetite has turned into an appetite for destruction. It's win at all costs. I've watched people go from he's our guy, to now they want his head on a platter. And they're going after the biggest – I don't know Urban Meyer personally, but everybody goes, he's the biggest snake. He sold his soul. He had the team at Florida. He has all this other stuff. And they were supporting Herman, Urban Meyer. And now they're like, man, Urban Meyer, man, he's sitting out there. And so as I've been sitting home, I've been watching all of this and saying, where are we? Mike Gundy say? Where are we at in society today? Where are we at? Like, what are we willing to do? And to your point of what we talked about earlier, Anwar, boy, my man goes, if it's not Urban Meyer, why not keep Tom? Because you know what you get. I'd rather dance with the dude that brought me or the girl that brought me to the dance than the one I don't know. And we don't know what Urban Meyer is going to do if he were to take this job. We don't know what access you and I will have. We don't know how he is going to be perceived amongst us, the media, right? He don't give a damn, but he is the media right now, right? So sure. Everything he says has moments, right? They have moments. And it just drives me nuts that we are sitting in a place where things aren't good for us right now. That's what bothers me, bro. That's what I've been sitting at home thinking about. And there is no right answer. There is no wrong answer. But whatever they decide to do at the University of Texas, they're going to have to live with that decision. And they're going to have to live with it longer than what they are going to be willing to deal with. That's what bothers me.
Bro, I'm going to let you close it out with that. By the way, tell the people where you're at, Harsh, because everybody's going to be wondering, like, what is that noise in the background? Who's it? Yeah. Has a party going on? Where you at, Harsh?
I'm sitting up at Cover 3, my spot. I'm sitting at Cover 3, and I'm actually, the funny thing about it is, you've been here before, so I'm up in the loft area where nobody is. And, you know, we're in a fortunate situation where we got football and basketball on at the same time. And, you know, it's a classy restaurant, but it seemed like it turned into a sports bar, right?
Oh, because they got the Texas, as we recorded this, the Texas-North Carolina game is on, right? So is that what everyone's going hype about?
Everybody's watching that. And then, of course, you know, on the same day, we got NFL football being played at the same time during this game where the Steelers are taking on the Baltimore Ravens, who COVID are dealing with a bunch of COVID. So it's been wild, man. It's a crazy time. And we're doing this on a Wednesday.
Yes.
In the middle of the week, bro.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, hopefully by this time next year, our bars will be packed. We'll be wall-to-wall again, and we'll be able to, you know, live life and enjoy ourselves. Okay, so that pretty much is your final thought. One last, anything else you want to say, Harsh? The floor is yours. You want to promo anything, hype up anything, tease anything, you know, take us home.
I got you, brother. So I appreciate you having me on. I mean, you have been doing an unbelievable job. You welcomed me right away into the media outlets. You know, I came in, we replaced one of our best friends and one of the brothers that put us both on and kept us in his thoughts, our man Sean Adams. And you've always me and you have always had some serious conversations about him and what he meant to us. So I appreciate you accepting me as an outsider that was replacing a good friend of ours and making me feel whole when I walked in the door and made me feel welcome. So I appreciate you for that. People can go to my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hardball Harge and be on the lookout. I got some things coming out that I will announce pretty soon. So it'll be on my social media. I created a YouTube page, and I'm also doing a new website. So there's a lot that's going to be happening. You know, you said it earlier at the beginning of the show, iHeartRadio kind of changed the direction in which they were going. So they made some changes, but I look at it as another opportunity for me to grow and continue to spread the word and spread the knowledge that I have.
Yeah, man. You know, the one thing we talk about Sean is, you know, Sean was a hustler. You know, if Sean would have lost that job, what would he have done? Like, how many shows would he have had, you know, within 2 to 3 weeks, right? He would have had, you know, 2 YouTube shows, an Instagram thing, you know, OnlyFans. I don't know. I mean, he would have had everything that he would have, you know, had working. So that, I appreciate you, you know, doing that. And like I said, Sean was our bond, no longer here, but, you know, because of him, you know, we become closer, you know, throughout
absolutely.
The years. So, you know, so I appreciate you stepping in. You know, I was, you know, I, I, I can say this. When I got to Detroit, there was a person by the name of Tom Kowalski who had passed, and I had to replace him as the Lions rider in Detroit. And that was pressure, you know, because he was a legend. You know, when he passed, they named the press box after him, you know. Wow. And so there was certain things. I remember going into the media room for the first time when I got there in Detroit. And I was like, where did he sit? And they said, he sat in that chair. I said, okay, I'll never sit there.
Right.
I won't sit in that chair. And I'm like, you know, in knowing that someone was this and meant that many to other people, you have to, it's hard because you don't want to offend someone, you know, that's like, that's my person. You try to sound like them or be like them or try to replace them. You're just like, no, let's honor them. I'm just trying to be me and who I am. What I appreciate is that you always like that. Always respectful, and you still keep up. People don't know. I'll say this, you know, you still keep up with the family, and I know you know, you probably wouldn't broadcast that, but you know, Harge does a great job of, you know, keeping up with Sean's wife, the kids, and you know, all the time going to events. So you know, good dude all around. So I got mad love for you. I can't wait to all your projects, and then next year I want to be on your show.
For sure.
You know, all right, I want to be on your show. I want to be a guest and stuff, you know, and then I'm going to charge you.
Okay.
Appearance fee. I'm going to charge you an appearance fee.
That's right.
For me to show up,
that's
man. Right. All right, man. Well, hey, Harge, thank you so much. Go enjoy yourself, man. That was my main man, Mark Harge. He is awesome. Love having him on. Hopefully I can get him on sometime in the new year. Then we'll either be talking about Tom Herman or we'll be talking about Urban Meyer, or as I'm not going to use the words that he said, what Texas fans used to call him, because Urban might listen to this podcast. I might have to be on his good side. So, Urban, you good with me? And on that note, thanks for listening to the Drunk Uncles podcast. Remember what I always say, live each day like it was your last, because one day it will be. We'll talk soon.